Live from Capitol Hill, it's the Jordan Sekulow Show.
My head is like a traffic jam.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
I can't get your face out my head. It makes my brain.
To follow Jordan on Twitter, go to twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Tweet Jordan to get your question on the air. For more information and the latest updates, go to JordanSekulow.com. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the Jordan Sekulow Show. A lot to talk about today. We'll continue to talk about the plight of a human rights activist, someone who's exposed the one-child policy and forced abortions in China, Chen Gaocheng. We'll talk about what is happening there, what will happen next. Hopefully, the deal that we're hearing about is real, and he will be able to leave China, but we don't expect that will happen anytime soon, though. It's very tough to predict these kind of situations. Also, Pastor Youssef Nadarkhani's attorney, he has now been sentenced to 9 years in jail and barred from practicing or teaching law for 10 years. Now, he is really the only person who stepped up to defend people like Pastor Youssef Nadarkhani. So this sentence, which has been hanging over his head as well since last July, he was informed earlier this week by a judge in Iran, in Tehran, known as the hanging judge or the judge of death, when he went to court to represent one of his other clients, that, by the way, you can't represent them today because you are now can no longer your license to practice law has been suspended, and you will now have to report to prison very soon. We don't know when. We know he has, we'll try to keep you updated as much as possible. But let me tell you, if this happens, if we're not able to stop this and something does not change in Iran, this is dire, not just for a lawyer who has been sentenced to the worst prison in Iran, the Evin prison, which is where people have been died after just being there for a few weeks, and people disappear into this prison in Tehran. But it would cut off the communication ability and the representation ability for Pastor Youssef Nadarkhani. He would no longer have a lawyer. And we're not sure that there's anyone else in Iran left that has the capability or the guts, really, to stand up for Pastor Youssef Nadarkhani. So I need you to pray for Muhammad Ali Dadka. Now, he is a Muslim attorney who represents these clients. He represented the 12 Christians over Easter. He's represented political dissidents there. And he has been charged with crimes against the national security. Said he has tried to start soft revolutionary tactics. Because he represents his clients at no cost, like the American Center for Law and Justice, he has been charged with aiding and abetting their crimes. He's been charged with keeping banned books at his home and for propaganda against the Islamic Republic, because he does some very limited media interviews. And so, folks, we need to pray for him. This will impact hundreds of people who are in jail and in the legal process now in Iran, and we need the world to start paying attention to the plight of this attorney, Muhammad Ali Dadka, who is now facing 9 years in jail and effectively would stop Pastor Youssef from being able to have effective representation if and when he needs to go back to court. So we need the world to pay attention. We're working on it. The American Center for Law and Justice, Fox News has covered this, the Christian Post, CBN News, TheBlaze.com as well. We've got all the information up at ACLJ.org. I encourage you to check that out, to stay updated on there. And over the weekend, there could be breaking news over the weekend on this. We'll keep you updated. ACLJ.org, Twitter.com/JordanSekulow, and Facebook.com/JordanSekulowShow. Coming up next, Billy Hallowell from TheBlaze.com, the faith editor there, will be joining us. We'll talk about what's happening in China. We'll talk about the situation involving Pastor Youssef's attorney and some others as well. And then an interview in the third segment we did earlier, right when we started the show, about sex selective abortion in China. We'll be playing that as well. Unnatural selection. May the fourth be with you.
You're listening
listening to the Jordan Seculo Show. Follow me at twitter.com/JordanSeculo. Let's make it last forever. Show. A lot to talk about in the faith world this week, to say least. Pastor Youssef Nader Khani, you've got his attorney who has now been sentenced to 9 years in jail. You know that was hanging over him while he's represented. Pastor Youssef Nader Khani, we'll talk more about that. The dissident activist, really for those against the one-child policy and forced abortions happening in China, flees to the U.S. embassy now. It looks like there will be a deal made where he can bring his family and go to a study abroad program, is basically how China is saving face. A lot to talk about, but yesterday was the National Day of Prayer. We've got on with us a great friend of the broadcast, a contributor to the Jordan Seculo Show, Billy Hallowell, the faith editor at TheBlaze.com, is joining us. And Billy, thanks for being with us again. Let me ask you first about the National Day of Prayer. Sometimes this can be controversial. It is with a lot of the atheist groups. But for the most part, most Americans appreciate the National Day of Prayer. It's non-denominational. It's ecumenical. And President Obama released his National Day of Prayer proclamation. Tell people if there are any highlights in it or anything important to know and the reaction to it.
Sure. You know, I think it was a very general statement. And I have to say that most people, regardless of their ideological disagreement, would really be able to get on board with it. He thanked the troops. He said we should be very grateful and praying for our democracy, and really offered up a number of tenets that were not very partisan in nature at all. So it was a very good proclamation. You know, in fact, a lot of people have said that yesterday's Day of Prayer was one of the largest to date, the most observed. So that was a pretty encouraging thing to hear in the wake of it.
Before we get into some of these heavier human rights issues that are happening around the world, Billy, something that was very interesting. I'm on the Wall Builders broadcast every so often to talk politics, to talk about some of the constitutional legal work we're working on at the American Center for Law and Justice. David Barton, who's been on The Daily Show a number of times, has a new book out about Thomas Jefferson. And you have a piece up because David Barton's name was trending number one on Google after he was on The Daily Show. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's really a fascinating and sort of a fun story that we wrote up about the fact that Barton was number one the day after appearing on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show. You know, I got to hand it to Jon Stewart. It's nice that he has had Barton on a number of times. And the broadcast was very interesting because in their dialogue, they discussed Thomas Jefferson and some of the misconceptions that Barton believes surround him in terms of faith. They talked about freedom of religion and some of the assaults that we've seen going on here in America on faith, particularly the Christian faith. And so in the day after that, it was huge. He was number one, and it was really interesting just to see that sort of, you know, resurgence in the interest that people had in what he had to say in the wake of that interview.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something you can watch up at theblaze.com as well. And this, again, was trending, folks. Number one on Google. It's a very interesting book because it argues that, you know, all this that we hear about Thomas Jefferson, you know, he created the separation of church and state, the wall of separation, that letter to Danbury Baptist Church, and he was secular, and he made his own Bible, and he cut out all of the miracles on purpose, and he really had no respect for the actual religious beliefs, and, you know, took a more European secular view of things, is all wrong. That's what David Barton writes about. It's probably a very interesting book to check out. And now, Billy, let's turn to some of these tougher stories. One that looks like it may have a good outcome, though always uncertain until things actually happen. That's in China with this activist whose focus has been on the one-child policy in China and forced abortions. Chen Gaocheng, who is now was at the U.S. embassy, then went to the hospital there, was under house arrest after being in jail for more than 4 years. A blind activist, taught himself the law. Tell people, Billy, about where this stands now.
So, you know, it looks like he's going to be coming to the United States, and he's going to have a safe haven here. It's been a very controversial case to watch, and you've heard Mitt Romney come out and sort of slam the Obama administration a little bit based on some of the allegations that he was, you know, pressured to leave the confines of the U.S. embassy. So it's been, you know, it's been a very interesting debate to follow, but I do think that it kind of underscores the overall relationship the United States has with China. And it's sort of concerning. We do, both parties do, look past some of these indiscretions of the Chinese government, and we do that because of financial financial gain and because of some of the, you know, fiscal matters that exist between the two countries. So this case may really, you know, bring some of that to the forefront and cause us to reconsider some of the things we know that go on there that we sort of look past. And so it is, it's been very intriguing to watch.
Yeah, it is something, you know, that is somewhat denied by the government there, and it's more of a regional matter. And this is one of those individuals who brought it to the forefront. What will be very interesting, Billy, is to hear from him once he's here and can speak freely, because I think it has the potential, certainly already has to some extent, reinvigorate a discussion about China and also about specifically the abortion policy there, which could be both sex selective and all these different aspects they use. And of course, if you've got money, there's always reports that you can have more than one child, and that's really targeted at the poor in rural areas. And I think it already has, we're talking about China again and their human rights situation, something we haven't talked about in a long time publicly like this.
Yeah, it's something that's important for us to be talking about. And I think you're right. When he gets here, we may be able to hear more about that. And again, very important. If we're going to stand for freedom in some areas, we really need to stand for freedom everywhere. And that means not looking past, like we have been doing, again, some of these indiscretions. So I do think it's interesting, too, looking at, you know, Obama versus Romney on this. I think we have to wait for the facts to come out before we really judge whether or not the Obama administration acted in a proper way. It does seem like they've been able to secure, regardless of whether or not they encouraged him to leave, they've been able to secure some success in getting him here.
You know, it's a very interesting to watch. We'll continue to update people again at theblaze.com and on aclj.org. Now, Billy, turning to another story. Now, I got an email from you earlier this morning, and involves Pastor Youssef Nader Khani's Muslim attorney, who is a well-known human rights lawyer in Iran, Muhammad Ali Dadka. We knew last weekend, actually, that this had been issued, but he really had asked and really wanted to see what he could work out. So we didn't try to take the story really big until he decided to do that. Finally, I think the situation got so dire, because this is a 9-year prison sentence in the worst prison in Iran. This is the prison where many people have died during their interrogations and questioning in just the first, you know, few weeks there in jail. Most notably, last time was a Canadian Iranian activist, a woman who was there, took photographs. They didn't like the photographs, got arrested. She was in jail for 19 days and dead by the 19th day. They even admitted it was because of the physical use of force during her interrogation. Billy, what's important here, of course, is that if this attorney, Muhammad Ali Dadka, goes, this is basically the last qualified attorney in Iran with his kind of experience who represents these clients like Pastor Youssef Nader Khani. It'll be that much more difficult for, one, Pastor Youssef or others to find a lawyer, but number two, to get any information out of what's happening in Iran.
Exactly, and this is particularly horrifying because, as you've said, he's really the last qualified person. We also don't know what's going to happen to Pastor Youssef now. And there's been a lot of pressure put on Iran, but I think people really need to ramp up that pressure now. We just published a piece this morning, about an hour and a half ago, about this. And, you know, a lot of times, and we've talked about this in the past, it's very hard to report on these stories and to kind of triangulate the information. But, you've confirmed this. We've got other people who have confirmed this as well, that this is going on. And we need to ramp up the pressure, petitions, letters, getting lawmakers to get involved in order to try to protect these people, because nobody, obviously, in their country has the ability to do so.
Yeah, it is a very difficult situation, folks. I know Billy's got the information up as well at theblaze.com. We'll keep everyone updated on what's happening with the attorney here, Muhammad Ali Dadka, who, as a Muslim, represents these religious minorities, political dissidents, doesn't necessarily agree with them, doesn't necessarily share their faith, obviously, but was willing to stand with them while he was watching his colleagues go to jail. Some die in jail, others flee the country, and his family, a brave family as well. This is a very important part of Pastor Youssef Nader Khani's case, because this lawyer was the way the world knew about the information that was happening in Iran, that was able to keep track on Pastor Youssef Nader Khani. And I think this is, again, another signal by Iran of what they do to people who they disagree with. I mean, they're charging him with plotting a soft revolution, propaganda, because he talks to the media every once in a while, very rarely, and very, you know, short bites of information he gives out to the media, and also crimes against national security and keeping banned books. So, Billy, I guess to wrap this segment up today, when you think about those charges, you put together what we're talking about in China as well, you realize we're very blessed in the United States of America, but we have a long way to go in the world, especially in some of the world powers, to change what it means to have human rights.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's so easy to complain about the way things are in America. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of issues, and we need to continue fighting to make sure we're protecting religious freedom here. But when you see what goes on in other countries like China and Iran, it really does cause you to really want to follow some of Obama's advice in that in the prayer day of prayer proclamation yesterday, and really just thank our blessings for what we have here and the freedoms that we have to express who we are and what we believe.
Absolutely. Folks, I want you to follow Billy Hallowell on Twitter, at Billy Hallowell. Go to theblaze.com, the faith section, right on the top of the homepage. Billy's the editor there. As always, Billy, it's great talking to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, that's Billy Hallowell from theblaze.com. Go to that faith section, all of the great faith stories going on here in the United States and around the world, and stand up for – we need you to pray for Pastor Youssef Nadarkhani's attorney, Mohammed Dodka, today. So do that when you have a moment. Pray for him. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Jordan Sekulow Show. Follow me at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Welcome back to The Jordan Sekulow Show. We are always looking for books that we want to recommend to you, something that's interesting, something that's different. And one of those, I was reading through the Wall Street Journal, actually, and I saw a new book that came out, Unnatural Selection: Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. The author, Mara Vistendahl, is joining us now. And Mara, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jordan.
Let me ask you, in your book, I mean, the claim that has kind of gotten out there on the reviews about it, that there are over 160 million females, she put in, quote, missing, and mostly due to sex-selective abortion in Asia, specifically in Eastern Europe. Why did you decide, you know, this is a topic that needs to be researched and written about? Because the number is shocking, and I'm wondering why we haven't heard more about it.
Well, it's a huge issue in Asia where I've been living. I've been a journalist in China for over 5 years. And if you go to a certain part of the country, it's pretty obvious. You can just see, you go to an elementary school and you can see many more boys than girls. Sex selection's been happening now for over 30 years. And so that first generation, we have many more men than women. They're growing up, and it's leading to all sorts of kind of secondary human rights abuses. Women being trafficked, being kidnapped, being bought and sold as brides. So it's a huge issue in Asia.
Yeah, I mean, for these issues that are, I think, you know, as a conservative, as someone who'd be on the pro-life spectrum, and I know the book is, and that's not the angle you're trying to get at, and I don't, you know, I'm not focusing on it, because I think these issues are bigger than that these are issues we can all come together on the political spectrum, because this issue leads to trafficking, which we've worked on at our organization, and all of those different issues kind of combine, and it seems like stem from this. But, you know, we hear about the problem in China and India, but your book also talks about South Korea and Vietnam as well. What, you know, where are these gender imbalances happening? I mean, China obviously seems like the big one, in India, but where else have you seen really the numbers that I think, you know, as reading through the book, very astonishing?
Not just South Korea and Vietnam, but also Taiwan, Albania, gender imbalance sex ratios in Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Armenia. This is a recent development. It seems that gender imbalance is spreading. And it's even spreading within China and India. So it started in urban areas, kind of paradoxically, among the wealthier and more middle-class people there, and now seems to be spreading to poorer areas, poorer parts of the countries.
You know, why is this happening? What was the cause from your research? And I mean, I want people to read the book. And folks, if you want to get a copy, jordansekulow.com, we've got the link. Unnatural Selection: Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. We'll talk about those consequences in a couple of moments. But why did this start? What was the cause of gender imbalance? Is it different in each of these countries, or is there one theme?
Well, obviously, underlying is this very strong preference for sons. You know, on some level, people really want a boy. But that's not the full, that doesn't explain where imbalanced sex ratios crop up, because you have, you know, unfortunately, patriarchy in much of the world. But there are some things that Albania and China have in common. One is that the birth rate has fallen pretty dramatically. So whereas women may have had 5 or 6 children 40, 50 years ago, now they're just having 1 or 2. And that's increases pressure on them to make one of those children a boy. And then there are a few other factors as well. New technology comes in. Abortion rates have contributed over the past few years, although abortion isn't the whole part of the story, which I make clear in my book. But those are some of the things that are happening.
You know, one of the issues that you talked about, and this is interesting to me, because we're probably coming at this from different sides of the spectrum on the abortion issue, is that you have some pro-life groups who have seized on this and members of Congress in the United States, but that the pro-abortion or pro-choice movement is a little bit tepid in getting involved in this, even though it's an issue, again, I think that is bigger than the debate over abortion, because you're talking about what should be a very easy human rights issue for everyone across the country. So what do you hope, what can come out of this? I mean, how can it seems like the movements like Planned Parenthood could have just as much impact in this, and maybe even more so than the pro-life movement.
Well, the politics behind why we haven't heard more about sex ratio imbalance and behind these abuses that are happening in Asia is very complicated and involves both the right and the left. And I would like to see now both sides also take action. There are conservative groups that are passing bans on sex selective abortion in the U.S., and I think really the focus should be now on these abuses that are happening abroad and on getting more international attention for them. On the other hand, I would also like to see the left get more involved. It's a difficult issue to take on because for now it does involve abortion. But, you know, we're getting into an era where we can select for other traits as well, not just sex. And that's, you know, that's an issue of selection, not abortion. And that's something that really ultimately the pro-choice movement is going to have to confront.
So it's an ethical issue over in a science. You're a science writer as well. And maybe while we're talking about this, let me ask you about your background as well that led you to write about this so that people who are not familiar with your work before the book know where you're coming from.
Sure. Well, I studied Chinese. I grew up in a family with a background in China. I grew up with Chinese roommates, and I've spent most of the past decade in China, so my interest in this topic grew out of that experience. But then, you know, as I started looking into it, I started to wonder, well, why are we seeing the same problem crop up in countries with such different cultures? And in China, it's typically explained as a result of the one-child policy, but then, you know, India, you don't have such a policy, Albania, Vietnam. So I wanted to know what's happening there.
And there have been people, there's some, disturbing stories in your book as well about some of the pressures that are put on women, whether it's the forced abortion issue or even sex selection culturally. And you mentioned it briefly when we began our discussion. I want to return to that, is the long-term implications of if this continues, if you have a gender imbalance like this, what it means for these societies and for other countries that may not have the problem, but of course in this globalized world where we deal with each other every single day. I mean, if someone has a major domestic problem, it affects another country as well.
That's true. And we've never really seen a gender imbalance on this level. 160 million females, and most of that generation is still young. So the big problems will come in the 2020s, 2030s. But we are starting to see some of the effects of men buying brides, increased sex trafficking. So the U.S. State Department now lists the sex ratio imbalance as one of the major causes of trafficking in Asia. And these are issues that the U.S. does work on and is involved with, and it will affect us in that way.
Folks, I want everybody to get a copy of this book. You can do it at jordanseculo.com. Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. The author, Mara Vistendahl, has joined us now. Mara, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I thought today you would enjoy hearing that interview again with Mara Vistendahl about her book, Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men, especially when we're talking about the situation involving Qin Guangcheng in China, who was exposing the one-child policy, the forced abortions, and that's why he ended up in jail and then under house arrest, now fleeing China, fleeing to the U.S. Embassy, and we hope that all the things we're hearing, that he's going to be able to get this study abroad grant done, that happens, that he's safely out, and that we can hear more from him. But again, this is real. This is actually happening. We need to pray for all of these activists around the world, whether it's in China or Pastor Nader Khani's attorney in Iran, Muhammad Ali Dadka. As always, stay updated this weekend at ACLJ.org.